Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week our guest is Ella Watts. Ella is one of the Academy's 30 under 30, and she's a producer, voice director, and audio consultant for podcasts, audiobooks, and audio dramas. In this episode, we talk about her love affair with audio drama and sound, some of the apps she works on, and the zombie mashup you never knew you needed until now. Last November, she took over as head of production at smartphone fitness game developer Six to Start, so I asked her to tell me a bit more about that role.
In a lot of ways, Six to Start is like a regular audio production company in terms of we make multiple different serialized audio dramas. We, you know, commission scripts, we edit those scripts and develop them, then we cast the characters, record them, sound design, produce, release episodes. The only difference is that Six to Start, we release our audio dramas on a proprietary app, formerly Zombies Run, now ZRX. And that app is designed, it's got some clever tech involved, which means that people can listen. Generally, we say like whilst you run or whilst you're working out, but you can do anything really. And what it does is two things. One of them is if you're playing a sort of playlist on Spotify, it'll cut up the dramas. So you hear like a scene of the drama and then a few songs from your own personal playlist and then another scene of the drama. And then the other thing is you can tell it, I want to work out for half an hour, and it will sort of calculate and spread those scenes out across that half an hour so that they drop at the right time. As you work out, you can either ask it to track your GPS or do a step tracker if you're on a treadmill and you pick up like supplies in inverted commas, which in our Zombies Run game let you like build a town of survivors in a zombie apocalypse, and in the Marvel Move game allow you to collect like different trophies that are Marvel themed that you can then like kind of build up in your cabinet and stuff. So you have this like little incentive to get little prizes from like going on runs and listening to episodes. But fundamentally it is essentially just an audio drama app. And so as head of production, I am in charge of the creative direction of the company. So everything from script and series commissioning through to directing and recording our audio series and reviewing the audio of like post-produced episodes and sound designed episodes.
I have a very nearly 14-year-old son who is Marvel mad, and we didn't know this existed. And now he wants it.
Yeah, that's what we like. Well, there's a free trial for a month if he wants to check out and see if it's his kind of thing. We have a couch to 5K as well.
I didn't know this kind of stuff existed. Are there many other companies that do this kind of thing?
No. Zombies Run started 13 years ago when Adrian Hon and Matt Witeska and Naomi Alderman, who is a novelist and screenwriter, crowdfunded like their original concept, which is, you know, you're in the zombie apocalypse and some guy on the radio is saying, there's zombies behind you, run faster. And then it evolved into this sort of zombie apocalypse soap opera, but like The Last of Us or The Walking Dead. Then kind of from that original Kickstarter, like generated this really loyal group of fans from around the world who ended up kind of growing over the course of a decade to more monthly active users than Pokemon Go, which is still a wild number to me. So we have this like really committed group of people who essentially treat Zombies Run like the Archers. Like, you know, they listen to every new episode as it comes out. They talk about it. They theorize about it. They're very invested in all of the characters over the many years that we've been releasing dozens and dozens of episodes. I think we've worked with over 1,000 actors on Zombies Run. But we are, as I understand it, relatively unique. I don't like to claim that anything is like the only thing, because I know that there's always something else out there. But we were featured in the British Library's digital storytelling exhibition last year, specifically because we were like a unique success story in this particular genre of like fusing, you know, audio and radio drama storytelling with digital technology and apps and stuff like that.
Zombie Apocalypse and the Archers is the mashup I didn't know I needed, but I want zombies running around Ambridge now.
Man, we should. I wish we could do a special episode. Ask to be them, fair, a lot of zombies.
What's the worst that can happen? They'll just say no. Please ask.
The temptation is so high, honestly.
Roger, Abel. Heading down now. What the hell? Someone shooting. That's not from the township. Who the hell has a rocket launcher? We're hit! I've lost the tail rotor. Mayday, mayday, mayday! Jolly 5-9 are going down 3 miles east.
like a lot of the story, obviously, over time, like, it can't just be there are zombies and that's bad. So a lot of the story over time does become like, how are we farming? How are we growing food? Where are we getting supplies from? Like, what are we going to do? And you know, essentially the village relationships between this small community of survivors and you know, who's in love with who and who's, you know, broken up with who and what's happening now. So yeah, I mean, again, it's soap opera.
And drama, but such a different way of producing and for the listener, accessing audio drama. I know what you mean. I'm hesitant to use the word unique, but like I said, I'd never heard anything like it. Is this the way you think audio drama is going to move in the future?
I don't know. I think it's interesting. So, you know, outside of my role at Six to Start, I've been working in audio drama more widely for about 6-7 years now. And I've worked as a kind of consultant, expert, academic on the field of audio drama. It's a field that I love very much, from radio drama, like I still love radio drama, to sort of podcasts and new digital dramas in different ways. And what I do think is interesting about Six to Start is that, you know, for that decade, like that first decade, Adrian and Matt, who founded the company, you know, they essentially had a sustainable, profitable way to make audio drama. And not just, you know, make audio drama, they were releasing 25 to 45 episodes a year. They were employing actors, they were paying them, they were paying writers, and people were paying them. Like lots of people, you can subscribe to Zombies Run for free, but there is also a subscription model, and the only adverts that you get on the app are to pay for the subscription so that you can get more content. Quite a lot of people like signed up to that, to the point that, you know, the company was able to profit and expand to form this partnership with Marvel Comics to make Marvel Move. And I do think it is a really, really interesting and underexplored avenue. So often younger people, and especially American listeners who aren't as accustomed to listening to radio drama, say that they find it difficult to focus on audio drama. They find it difficult to pay attention to what's happening. And I think that ZRX, like Zombies Run, Marvel Move, has quite a clever way of getting around that by splitting the scenes between your songs, because then in the end you're only really focusing for about 2 minutes, and people can handle that. Like, that's pretty easy. It kind of navigates that sort of concentration and focus issue. I think it's definitely an effective model, but, you know, in my heart of hearts, I still want lovely hour-long plays on Sunday, so I don't want to say that that's the only way forward.
Tell me about audio drama and your relationship with it. I noticed on your website, and like, this is such a lovely quote, you say you're not just passionate about podcasts and audio drama, you're infatuated, captivated, even haunted. Tell me about this love affair you have with sound.
Oh my gosh, I would love to. I just think that audio drama is one of the most interesting artistic mediums in the world right now. For me, the way I think of it is like having one foot through the door to Narnia. You are in so much control of what every character looks like, of what every monster looks like. It is so wonderfully designed to you, because your imagination is such a huge part of what makes an audio drama work. But there are parts of it that are outside of your control. So it's different to reading a book. Sometimes a gunshot will go off, or the monster will suddenly appear, or someone will laugh or chuckle. And you realize that it's real, and it's not just in your head, and it has a life of its own. And there is something so wonderful and exciting about that. And I find it so visceral, and it feels like every time I listen to an audio drama, it just goes through the sort of prism of my imagination and becomes something more breathtaking and exciting than I'm able to imagine in almost any other medium. We're in this really interesting era in the 21st century, especially again with the American influence, of rediscovering and reinventing radio drama, despite the fact that, you know, Radio 4 exists. And sort of relearning these techniques that in the 1920s and 1930s and 1940s radio drama producers like really understood. I still don't think that 21st century radio drama producers, especially American and like podcast producers, have fully understood the medium in the way that those original creators did. I feel like I've rambled. I love radio drama.
But your passion comes through, though, and it's so refreshing, because you mentioned Radio 4. It is one of the very few places where there is still audio drama put out on a regular basis.
It breaks my heart that we don't value Radio 4 as much as we should. Like, obviously, we also Radio 3. I love Radio 3 dramas. They are so interesting. I think the stuff that Matthew Dodd commissions is always so interesting. Like, the US at the moment is in a phase of radio drama fever. iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, some of the biggest commercial radio stations in the country are commissioning radio drama at a rate of knots and putting celebrities in them and spending $500,000 on them and desperately trying to figure out how radio drama works and what makes it effective. You've got companies like Qcode and Realm and Spotify pouring money in. Spotify's got a partnership with Zack Snyder and DC Comics to make a whole slate of adaptations of DC audio dramas. You know, the fact that the BBC and the UK has a leading resource in a medium that is not otherwise well understood in the English language speaking world, at least. You know, France has a great radio drama tradition still. Like, a lot of our neighbors in Europe have fantastic radio drama traditions. But in terms of English speaking world, the UK and Radio 4 has this incredibly precious resource. And we have all of this knowledge and we have all of this expertise and we have this incredible slate of like you say, just such a huge amount of radio drama that is still being produced. And the fact that, you know, over the last few years, we've been seeing that get reduced and reduced and reduced just as more and more money is poured into it in the US. It seems it defies logic to me. I don't understand why in this moment where radio drama is becoming fashionable and becoming commercial and becoming of interest to, you know, the big four talent agencies in LA and becoming of interest to Hollywood and film producers and directors like Zack Snyder, why this is the time. Seeing Radio 4 suffering bigger and bigger cuts, I think it's really a tradition that we should be so proud of and that we should be protecting and investing in.
You have got a passion project. I mean, I talked about your passion there and I can see it and hear it coming through. Your passion project, you described it as a passion project. It's an audio drama of yours that you've been working on. Tell me how that came about and you also have sourced funding for it.
I've always had this little thing that I wrote myself that I wanted to make in the background, but I was too busy making everyone else's things. You know, I had the great fortune to work at BBC Studios for a while. I made a show called Doctor Who Redacted, which I'm very proud of. And then I made a podcast called Eliza for a podcast network called Crowd Network in Manchester. You know, I got this job at Six to Start and before my promotion to head of production, I was working as a voice director part-time at Six to Start. And so I had a little bit of extra time and I contacted a friend of mine, a wonderful producer, sound designer and composer called Amber Devereaux, who has a company called Tin Can Audio. And I said, look, okay, I've got this little project that I've written. I want to direct it. I don't want to produce it because for once, I don't want to be in charge of all of the admin and logistics. Would you be down for sort of producing and sound designing? And they said yes. And so we contacted two different bodies to fund it. Creative Scotland very generously co-funded it. And then an American organization called the Inevitable Foundation, who support disabled creatives. I'm disabled. I have chronic migraines and the colorfully named generalized pain disorder. So these are invisible disabilities, but no less debilitating. Very, very generously, the Inevitable Foundation and Creative Scotland gave us money to make the series. So it's a 9-part serialized audio drama and a podcast. Yeah, it's a sort of post-apocalyptic drama inspired by Arthuriana and folklore. So the name Camlann comes from the Battle of Camlann, which is the battle where King Arthur dies. And sort of the entire court of Camlann sort of self-destructs because it's a civil war between Arthur and Lancelot and everyone picks a side and then they all kill each other.
It's been 9 months and the only other people we've seen in all that time are those morons in Glastonbury. If anyone else survived, then the odds are that they're alone too. They're lost and scared and cold and looking for a light in the dark. We can be that light. It's worth the risk.
What if the knights see it?
From Somerset? Look, my geography's bad, but...
They'll be looking for us. For me and Perry.
And they haven't found us yet. Please, just let me try.
I know that you also cast with your radio and audio dramas, and you are very keen to cast the right actors, but also people from underrepresented groups. Tell me how and why that's important to you.
If we lived in a world where discrimination didn't exist, it wouldn't matter who played what character. You know, you could cast anyone to play anyone. However, we do live in a reality and we do live in a social context in which disabled actors, actors of colour, queer actors, trans actors are significantly less likely to get cast in roles than their peers. And within that context, then giving away the very few roles that are appropriate to those people also to the people who get all of the other jobs is, I think, socially, professionally, and ethically irresponsible. I think at the very least, you know, if you've got a character who uses a wheelchair or is deaf or black, you should give that role to a black actor or a deaf actor or a wheelchair user. You know, at the bare minimum, you cast people to play their own identities. But then I also think, you know, with the understanding that the vast majority of actors who get cast are going to be white, middle class, cisgender, able-bodied, often male, like the vast majority of characters are going to be in those identities, then you should also like consider, okay, does this role, especially in a radio drama, does it have to be played by a white actor? Is there any particular reason why it can't be played by someone who uses a wheelchair? Because no one can see the character, they can imagine the character however they want. And we have this lovely opportunity to highlight like the voices of brilliant, talented professional actors who are just factually not getting as much work as their peers, who are getting that work not because they are better at their jobs, but because they fit a certain social identity. And I say this as a cisgender white middle-class woman who like fits many of those descriptions. I know that I get jobs and I am more likely to get jobs and be asked to do things because of my identities. And so I feel that I have a responsibility to use that privilege to hold the door open for other people. But I'm lucky in that Six to Start as a company has been operating on that policy for a long time. So whilst I bring that to my own project on independent project, well, not independent, but on other projects like Redacted and Eliza and Camlan, with Six to Start, they were already doing that. And it's really nice to be able to work at a company where, you know, everyone in the company is sort of on the same page as you.
Radio audio drama has been described as the world's oldest form of storytelling in its newest form of technology. Where do you see the future for audio drama?
I mean, first of all, I don't think it's going anywhere. I think there was a big panic when TV started that TV was going to kill radio, and yet radio is still going strong.
We're back to the Archers. That was the night they killed Grace. I'm not that old that I remember that, but it's a piece of radio history. The night they killed Grace Archer was when ITV started.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, and it's, you know, people constantly, there are alarm bells, I think, in the audio industry of like, podcasting is going to kill radio, television is going to kill radio, streaming is going to kill radio. It's not. It's not. I just don't think it is. I once saw a talk when I was 16 by a bloke who worked at the Financial Times, of all places, who said that the trend in media is towards multiplicity, not singularity. People like having options. They don't like having one thing. Every time we have this new cool medium, I don't think it's going to get rid of the old one. I think we're just going to have them existing in parallel. And I think if anything, podcasting has made people more interested in radio, because people who make podcasts are largely people who love radio and who are making podcasts because they love radio. Radio drama takes more time to create, and its value, it takes a longer time to show itself. It is an investment like a book or a library. It is something that accrues value over time. But that doesn't mean it's not worth having. And I think that the biggest threat to radio drama is saying there's no hope for radio drama. There is absolutely hope for radio drama. There are absolutely millions of people around the world who love radio drama and who want to make radio drama and who want to write it and listen to it and commission it. You know, it's been this beautiful, forgotten journey for such a long time. But the fact that, for example, Marvel Comics is working with my company because they specifically want a library of radio drama, like, says to me that like there are people out there who want this and are willing to pay for it and who are willing to listen to it and who want to listen to it.
What an inspiring guest Ella Watts from Six to Start has been this week, and her passion for audio drama just makes me want to go out and discover more about it. You can find Ella on socials at GEJWatts or on her website ellawatts.com, and you can find out more about Zombies Run and Marvel Move at sixtostart.com. The 8th of March this week is International Women's Day, and on our Radio Academy socials we'll be celebrating the International Women's Day theme for 2024, which is Inspire Inclusion. We'll be shouting out to inspiring women from the audio industry. If you've got an idea for the podcast, then get in touch
at podcast@radioacademy.org. I would love to hear from you. And if you subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast, then you'll never miss an episode. Check out the Radio Academy website for pictures from our Glasgow Foot in the Door event. And next week's podcast is a special episode produced by Sean Thorne from that very event. Enjoy the Foot in the Door special next week, and I'll see you in a fortnight.